Hey, good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California, wherever you can hear AM 1080 KSU. Wait a minute. I need to say good morning to the world because you can hear us worldwide on the web on KSCO.com.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, so good morning to everybody worldwide. And maybe I should spread that out to the universe or the galaxy or whatever. Stay with us for the next couple of hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Rent control. Two words that make those who have it smile broadly and those who would remove it talk of the biggest financial scandal in California history. Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special with your host MZ from 10 a.m. to noon and guests Richard Holterman, a member of the Golden State Manufactured Homeowners League, and George Drysdale, an expert in real estate investment and land economics. Rent control on the Saturday Special with your host MZ from 10 a.m. to noon and guests Richard Holterman and George Drysdale. That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon on your What It's Really Worth radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Now, Dave, if there was ever a program that called for the Crossfire music, it's this. And it's not here. Do you have it there?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's appropriate music for the program. Very appropriate music for the program. And I must say, I'm surprised that that rent control isn't talked about much more often on the talk radio station here, because Santa Cruz County has some of the highest rents in the world. You know, I mean, it's the highest cost of living. And of course, rents and real estate prices are the largest single component. Everybody's nodding his head in the studio here. At least we agree on that. I can back up to the 1980s, when I lived in the city of Santa Cruz. And I was quite amazed that not once, but three times during the 80s, rent control was proposed for the city. I don't remember it ever being a proposal for the county. Maybe it was, but I just forgot about it. But for the city of Santa Cruz, it was tried not once, but three times in the 1980s. And each time, it went down to progressively, no pun intended, progressively more defeat, a larger defeat than the previous time. I don't understand it. I didn't understand it then. I don't understand it now. Because the fact of the matter is, certainly then, if not, a lot of people have been squeezed out. A lot of poorer people have since been squeezed out of Santa Cruz City and county because they simply couldn't afford to pay the real estate prices and rents. So for the life of me, I can't understand why it didn't pass then. And if it were, I guess I can understand why it isn't even suggested now, because so many of the people who would have voted for it can't afford to live here anymore. You know, but in any case, that's all I know about rent control and its history in the city of Santa Cruz. I know nothing about the history of rent control in the county. George Drysdale, who appeared on the program briefly with us a week ago, just long enough to tease for this program, basically, is with us in the studio today. So is Rick Holterman. George is an investor who has, I guess at this point, single-handedly initiated the initiative process here to bring an initiative to the county of Santa Cruz. Is that right? Come on up closer to the microphone.
It is. It's the county of Santa Cruz. I've filed this initiative, and initiatives are very rare. But this had to be done because it's such a financial disaster what happened here, starting in Santa Cruz, actually San Francisco, with Mayor Dianne Feinstein ignoring the advice of Milton Friedman and price-fixing rents in San Francisco. And from there, it went throughout the state of California on this most precious, valuable land. Severe rent controls, And David Satterfield, the editor of the San Jose Mercury, agrees with me that this is the number one financial scandal in California's history, and this will become the number one study in the science of economics.
Those are pretty strong words, but let's start at the beginning for those of you, just for the benefit of me and for our entire KSCO audience. Tell us, it's my understanding that there is no rent control in the city or county of Santa Cruz now, except for mobile home parks. Is that a correct understanding, Rick?
That is correct. There's various ordinances. There's various ordinances. Each city has its own, and the county also has its own. But it's strictly mobile home rent control.
Okay. Now, what makes mobile home different from other properties?
The biggest difference is you have two different people that have a major investment. You have the park owner, and you have the mobile home owner. The park owner, with big rent increases, has the ability to destroy the value of a mobile home. And if anybody doubts that, they don't have to look any farther than the city of Santa Cruz, who backed down on their rent control in the two parks that were left rented there.
Parks that were left rented. So some parks are not under rent control,
no,
and some parks are?
The parks are under rent control, but what has happened is over a period of time, some residents are able to purchase their parks. So it becomes a resident-owned park, then it's no longer under rent control.
I got
and
you.
That's what's been happening. We're approaching, I think, 20 resident-owned parks and throughout the county between the cities and the unincorporated area of the county.
And how many parks are there entirely? If 20 are resident-owned, how many?
70-some. I don't remember the exact total of mobile home parks in Santa Cruz anymore. But 70-some. And as I say, some of these rent control ordinances, Capitola dates back to like 79, the counties to like 80 or 81. Blossomville around 1990. I don't know when Scotts Valley passed theirs.
Okay, and typically there are variances and nuances of each, but
there's different...
presumably.
Each one is different. They'll have, for instance, every rent control ordinance in these mobile home parks, someone could ask for a special rate of adjustment hearing. If the owner feels he's not getting a fair return in his money, he can go to each place has a different method of doing that. For instance, Scotts Valley has a rent board where an owner could go ask for more money. You have a hearing officer in the county of Santa Cruz. It's just small parts. But the basic thing is the rents are controlled. They're usually tied to the consumer price index. And so there's a small increase in the rents every year.
Right. Okay, boy, I sure would hate to be the one person in charge of affecting so many people's lives. But I guess there is...
Well, the two, just to maybe get this out of the way, the two basic reasons for mobile home rent control are to protect the investment of the mobile homeowner, because there's an old formulation of for every $100 in rent increase, a mobile home will lose approximately $10,000 in value. And that's by a gentleman in Dr. Ken Barr in Berkeley, who does a lot of rent issues. And then, of course, the second and most important is affordable housing. And there isn't a great deal of affordable housing, I think, as most people know, in Santa Cruz. And
I think everybody knows that.
The mobile home parks are one of the last places left.
Right. Now, you live in a mobile home park
yourself? Yes, I'm actually in the city of Capitola over on 38th Avenue.
How long have you lived there?
1988.
And so you have never lived there where at a time when there was not rent control. Is that a correct statement?
That's a correct statement.
Okay. Had there not been rent control, probably you wouldn't be living there.
It would have been difficult. It would have been difficult. It would have been a lot more difficult. Yes.
Uh-huh.
I can't say for sure what I would have done, but.
Right. Okay. My feeling. For what it's worth, if anybody's interested, I'm very much opposed to the concept of rent control or any kind of artificial control of the economy by the government. And rent control undermines the very cornerstone of our freedom and the cornerstone of our whole culture and whole society. On the other hand, I will admit that over the years, when it comes to considering the plight of the poorest people in the area, typically people who can only afford to rent or purchase a mobile home, my heart has gone out to them, and I've just sort of felt like, hey, there's got to be some way to. So maybe I don't understand why even I feel a little different. What should make mobile home different from real property? I'm struggling.
Probably the biggest difference is you have most times people that are relatively low income trying to purchase these things. That's a huge investment in their life. Just like the mobile home park may or may not be a huge investment in the park owner's life. A lot of them, they own many parks. But as long as the park owner has just unlimited ability to raise the rents, he can always destroy the value of someone's mobile home. And because you have two people with a major investment, it's not like an apartment where the entire investment is by one person, the owner of the building and the land, et cetera. And so it's the only way that people can protect themselves. And like I say, the city of Santa Cruz, just very briefly, their rent control ordinance no longer has vacancy control, which means when someone goes to sell their home, the owner can raise the price to whatever he wants. And you cannot even get 10 cents on the dollar in the coaches now in like De Anza.
Okay, De Anza is the
big near park,
Natural Bridges, where the rich people live.
Well, relatively. I mean, there's the coaches there were running high. The coaches were running in, 300. Somebody said one cost $500,000. But basically they were running in about the $300,000 range, I think, when a lot of them, when rent control was rolled back by the city council. And you can't get $30,000 for that same coach now. Well, it's a senior park. They always said
wasn't there another extreme at one point where there was rent control where people got around it just by paying outrageously high prices for the coaches?
No.
Is it because I had heard that there were, and maybe this is hearsay because I haven't verified any of this, but I heard very recently, it was specifically with reference to De Anza, that there was a time not too long ago that that people were getting in the millions
well,
for
that's not true. I can tell you what happened. There was one coach that supposedly sold for $500,000. What happened was Santa Cruz had the city had a very unique rent control ordinance. They actually tried to put price controls within the ordinance. And so if you were under rent control of the city of Santa Cruz, you actually signed up for it, and you made an agreement with the city that the price of your coach would tie into the consumer price index and would only go up so much each year. What happened in Santa Cruz is someone in De Anza figured out, or they just took a chance, they'd agreed to this, but then they sold their coach for much more than they were allowed to under the rent control ordinance. And so...
Well, wait a minute. If they're not allowed to sell something...
It seems so foreign, it seems so Soviet
Russia to me to even be talking about allowed to sell. You know, when you have a free market in a supposedly free country, then, things are allowed to happen. Now, on the other hand, if what you're saying is that people signed a contract with the city of Santa Cruz saying that if they live in that park, they will be subject to the rent control that's in effect for that park and subject to, since they're going to be owning the title to their coach, that they will agree voluntarily to have a cap on the price of their coach. Now, if you're saying that's what happened and people signed those deals and then violated that contract with the city, well,
that's what happened. They agreed to the price controls on their coach in exchange for having rent control. That was, like I say, the city of Santa Cruz is the only one that did that. And what happened over a period of time is several people who are no longer lived in the park, they sold their coaches for more than they were allowed to. And that's what brought everything.
Well, how were they able to do that? I mean, doesn't it show up on a title report or something?
They simply put it on the market. Santa Cruz, I can't tell you what the staff in the city of Santa Cruz did. I have no direct knowledge of that. But these 11 people managed to sell their coaches for more than the agreed upon
ceiling.
Well, it changed every year, it went up every year. But a small amount, just like their rents went up a small amount every year.
Right.
And... And so when that happened, the park owner filed 11 separate lawsuits against the city of Santa Cruz, one for each coach. And that was what finally caused the city to go to the – I don't explain the whole ordinance – to go to the –
The owner of the park.
The owner of the park. None of the people that paid the extra money were part of this lawsuit. They were living in the park and lost the rent control protections like everybody else. And so, but what you've ended up with vacancy decontrol at Deanne's, and also the other one, it's a small one over by the, I can't remember what they call the Dream Inn now, but anyway, Clearview Court is the name of the park.
Yeah.
They're basically
West Coast
under
Hotel, I think it's called.
Okay. They're basically under long term leases now, and when they sell their coach, the rents can go to anything, and the rent increases are so high, it's basically no one wants them. The park owner, Deanne's, is actually buying a lot of the coaches for almost nothing. And then he can do, as he chooses with them.
Wow.
But that's just Santa Cruz. None of the other ordinances are really like that. And it's basically just rent control and vacancy control and the likes.
Okay. George, who are you and how did you get involved in all? You don't even live in Santa Cruz, right?
Yeah, I'm a third generation San Franciscan, and I've been studying this issue for 10 years. My first job out of college, I was a high school social science teacher. And the first week or two of, in high school social science, you get into rent control and why it's so bad. Now, the situation, why this initiative is the 12-acre parcel of land in Aptos, which was worth $55 million.
Where is that located?
I forget. Trout Gulch, right now.
Okay.
And the property is being bankrupted by severe rent controls, and the tenants were able to buy it for $3.9 million.
Who said it was worth $55 million?
I know the price of land. I make my living by investing my money, and that's so horrible.
So that's your personal appraisal of the property,
yes,
or what it should be worth if there were no rent controls. Is that what you mean?
Right, and then if that land would have been developed out at about $100 million of much needed new housing. Now this is for 55 years. This is a hugely parasitic piece of land, and the people who are profiting it from it are these mobile homeowners. So that this article I just got out of the Santa Cruz Sentinel this last week shows that more than half the people of these mobile home spaces in this economically devastated Capitola, these are their second homes. These are rich people who have bid up the price of their, $50,000 mobile home to up to $500,000, $600,000. It's quite a phenomenon.
Okay, you were shaking your head, Rick, during what was...
The article that you took out of the Sentinel is written by someone, I think, in the Reed family, who owns Surf and Sand Mobile Home Park in Capitola. There are a lot of second homes in there. That is the only park like that. In fact, most parks don't have second homes. And if you consider second homes an issue, it is not part of the local rent control ordinances because it is already covered by state law in the state civil code. If you look in the 798 section of the state civil code on mobile homes, second homes are not eligible for rent control. And there's a specific method, which I'm not positive of, where a park owner, if it's a second home, I think if the homeowner is taking a homeowner's exemption somewhere else, That makes the mobile home a second home.
Sure.
Rent control's gone for second homes. Rent controls were never intended for vacation homes, second homes, whatever you want to call them. And it's because, as I say, it's covered by state law. It doesn't even matter what a local ordinance would say. It's part of the state civil code. So that's really kind of a non-issue. And we've heard from the Reed family before, 6 or 7 years ago.
Now, who is the Reed family?
Well, I don't know the person. They're the owners of Surf and Sand. I don't know. And that was who wrote the article in the Sentinel. It was, I think, it's, does it say Randy Reed on there? It's not in front of me.
Yeah.
And, well, actually, this was a letter to the editor on the opinion page.
I think he's talking about the article that was in the op-ed page.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not positive. I don't have my glasses on. I can't read that far away. But anyway, that's what it was. And Surf and Sand does have, I don't know the exact number, but I think they have maybe approaching 30 second homes in there, or vacation homes, whatever you want to call them. That is people taking advantage of the situation. That's not the intention of the city of Capitola with their ordinance to provide that kind of thing. And as I say, it is covered by state law. If if they want to do anything about it, go to, and they know what the civil code says better than I do. I'm sure they own the park.
Right. Okay. Well, so George, you're so angry about all this that you've taken to the initiative process. And what does your initiative say?
It says return the property to the owners. What you have here is the, in rent control, the politicians look at only one thing, that is the votes. And you have a lot more votes amongst the solid voting block of mobile homeowners. You have just a limited number of owners. And they've completely taken the side of the solid voting block of mobile homeowners. Now, in the rest of the United States, it is known that mobile home parks, these are big pieces of land. You see these small trailer parks in the older sections of town here. But basically, if you go into Capitoli, they're very nice, big, large pieces of land. In the rest of the United States, these go into development. And because of the political situation in Santa Cruz County, the politicians have made it so you cannot put that land up into development. In other words,
okay.
Yes.
That's been that way for many years.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, the not only the owners are swindled hugely, but the tax base, the people of Capitola especially, are swindled. There's almost $2 billion worth of land that's been, taken away from the owners, taken away from the tax base, and the financial aspects are astronomical damages. They've managed to in this county.
Well, when you say taken away from the tax base, I mean it's not like you're acquiring property to be a park or something, and then it does go off the tax rolls. What I think you're saying is that the political situation has kept down the tax base because it hasn't been allowed to rise like it would naturally were that land to be developed as you say it should.
Yes. Okay. In the rest of the United States, it's understood that the owner owns his property. Here in California, the owners have been ripped off brutally in this state, especially most obviously in this question of mobile home parks.
Okay, I don't even know the details of your initiative, and I agree with a lot of what you said, but what makes you think you have a snowball's chance in hell of getting this initiative passed?
Because everybody knows rent controls are bad, because it's this, like I said, the first week or month of a high school economics textbook. And in order to graduate from high school in the state of California, the last time I checked, you have to pass a class in economics in your senior year. And then there's economics 101, freshman economics in college, where this is repeated.
So you think because people have been educated in economics that they're going to vote for your initiative?
I don't even think it'll get to the vote. I think that through your radio station, people have found out about this gigantic land swindle. They'll get on the backs of the supervisors. And like I said, everybody knows rent controls are bad except for the politicians and, amazingly, the newspapers around here.
Okay. Rick, do you think rent controls are bad? Is it?
No, I think it's a good thing. I mean, I find it remarkable someone spends so much time trying to destroy affordable housing. That's a real noble cause. I mean, this is amazing. He talks about the poor park owners. All rent control initiatives, rent control ordinances have a form to ask for a special rent increase. Anytime a park owner says, I'm not getting a fair rate of return on my money, he can go before, as I say, it varies from city to city as to the actual method of doing it.
They're being bankrupted.
Can ask for a fair rate of return on their investment. I mean, that's part of all ordinances. You're not going to have an ordinance without that. Go buy a mobile home park if you have the financial wherewithal. In a rent-controlled city versus a non-rent-controlled city, you're paying a much smaller price for it too. Your investment is much lower.
Yeah.
This is not some horrible conspiracy to destroy people. I mean, it really is for affordable housing and, as I say, to protect the investment of people that don't have a lot. And some of these, I can just give you an example of two parks that I've seen feasibility studies as whether they could buy the park or not. The park where I live is 90% low income. Cabrillo, which is also in Capitola, is over 80% low income. And that was a feasibility study done by the housing authority in the city, et cetera, to see if it was possible for those residents to purchase their park.
What defines low income?
Well, you start, there's various levels, from moderate, lower income, and very low income, those three levels. And the low, I think they've added an extra category in the low income level now, but very low income, I forget what the percentage is, it's pretty low. 61% of our park falls into the lowest income category. I mean, this is not people running around taking advantage of this. This is all they have, and basically all they can afford.
In American society, low-income people are subsidized via the taxpayer. In this case of rent control, what you're doing is you're forcing a property owner to subsidize the lower-income people, and to a brutal effect, such that he is forced to sell his land at a much, much reduced price, and he also is facing bankruptcy because of the severe rent controls placed on these mobile home parks.
Do you think that's going to break the heart of a lot of the poor people who hate rich people?
This is America. I don't think poor people hate rich people. America, everybody wants to become a millionaire themselves. So that's, and in fact, that does happen.
Okay. You're listening to the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is Michael Z. We'll be on the air with this program, the subject of which is rent control, right up until noontime. We'd like to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call, 479-1080, 479-1080. It's area 831. If you're outside of the 831 area code, you'll have to call 831-479-1080 to weigh in on this topic. It's pretty complex, and wow, I mean, there's certainly arguments on both sides, strong arguments on both sides, and I'm really interested in what the audience has to say about this, so hope we get some phone calls here. Let's see, and our guests are George Drysdale, who is very much opposed to all rent controls, and Rick Halterman, who is very much in favor of certainly rent controls on mobile home parks. What about elsewhere, Rick?
I think, as I said earlier, I think it's really kind of two different issues. I would support rent control in other places, too. But as I say, because of the unique situation with two people making the big investment, mobile home rent control is kind of a little different than other types of rent control.
Okay. It looks like we have a caller on the line already to 479-1080. That's Mike in Santa Cruz. Let's put him on the air. Hey, Mike, you're on.
There's nothing complicated about this at all. It's a no-brainer. Rent control equals government control of private property. Now, granted, it's a rough and tumble world out there. Poor people have problems. Rich people have problems. Everybody's got problems. And a lot of times it's not easy. But you just got to work it out some way outside of government control.
Well, if the government isn't gonna help the poor people, who is?
The government's never gonna help poor people. The government postures themselves all over the place as the, you know, they're for the poor, they're for the children, they're for, you know, whatever. They never are.
The government is really only for itself, huh?
Yeah. They get more bureaucracy, more job security, more tax money,
and the politicians who run for office. Many people feel that they're not really interested in serving. They're just interested in the power of being in office.
Right.
And as a result, every breath they take is and every thought, you know, that comes up in their brains are how to retain the power.
Yeah. Well,
I believe that that's pretty much the case.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't make it such an absolute out of it. But you're going down the right avenue. They do buy our votes by giving us promises for what they're going to do for us. Isn't that a little bit sad? This is America, people. Actually, America doesn't exist anymore. We just have an illusion of it.
You might want to say this was America, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we turn to the government for everything, and then we wonder why everything has gone south.
At least we're smiling and laughing here. Okay, go ahead. Rick is obviously, he's agitated in a very amused way here. Go ahead.
I'm not agitated at all.
You're shaking your head. You're shaking your head. What the caller is saying and what I've said is just preposterous.
We were wandering off from rent controls into the evils of these horrible politicians
I guess you're right.
I wasn't sure where we were going with this.
I guess you're right.
And, you know, isn't it amazing that someone gets elected actually represents its constituents? I mean, you will find more people in Santa Cruz are in favor of rent control than aren't. There was a...
Yeah, and so why hasn't it passed?
I should have said in favor of mobile home rent control. And I said there really is a difference when people... A lot of people that look at this really do look at it as two separate things. And so... sorry, these headphones, but I've never done this before.
Are they too tight on your earbuds?
No, there's an echo in them. It's probably my own voice echoing. I'm just not used to it. I've never done it before, but I'm sorry. But just as a history, very briefly, on an initiative, there was a statewide initiative in 96 to roll back rent control, basically go to vacancy decontrol. It was beaten like 60-40 statewide, and it lost worse than that in Santa Cruz County. So, you know, the people, at least back then, the people of Santa Cruz got it.
I talked to the initiator of that initiative, Victoria Talley, down in Southern California, and here's the issue in the state of California, labor unions. Now, in 2005, Milton Friedman was a signatory to that initiative, which would defund the labor union's overwhelming power of collected dues. And Victoria Talley said she just didn't have enough money to fight Proposition 199. You can click on the internet and study that. The Republicans were, of course, good students of economics for eliminating a slow process, rent controls on mobile home parks, but the unions, and so therefore the Democratic Party, was against that with catastrophic results. This huge denominator of the most expensive land in the world, really, the coast of California at this point, would indicate that all the criminal activity is the expenses of the prisons, the prison guards, pensions, et cetera, is dwarfed by the economic damage done by price fixing this very valuable land on the coast of California.
What is that? What's that sound? Well, okay, was that you, Mike?
That was my other phone.
Oh. You frightened us to death. We thought the radio station was imploding.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess you made your point, right?
Yeah, it's very simple. You've got property, what I said in the beginning, rent control equals property control.
Got it. Okay, thanks very much. We got to go on to other callers here. B in Soquel about rent control. You're on the air on KSCO, your favorite radio station.
Hi.
Hi.
This gentleman, I don't know what his background is.
Which gentleman?
The gentleman who's opposed to rent controls. You have several thousand people living in this county that could not afford decent housing if it weren't for rent controls. Now, are you going to throw them all out so the very wealthy can enjoy the view on the beach? I don't understand this whole argument of his.
Here's George.
One of the stated objectives of the initiative is to provide affordable housing.
That's right.
And there's a lot of money up there with Proposition 1C. We're going to try to get our hands on while it lasts. It's to build affordable housing on these mobile home park sites. You see, everything is the price of land in the most expensive land market in the world. I mean, you take a house around here, 80%.
I'm aware of that.
Of the values in the lot.
Hey, B, is someone in the background there being thrashed?
No.
There's a noise on your phone, too. What is that?
That's my oxygen.
Okay. Sorry. Forgive me. Now I feel bad. Okay. So, George, did you finish your...
Yeah, that's... But see, we're all really just renters because even property owners have their mortgages and their taxes and their maintenance. And the only class of renters whose fixed prices to vary about 1/30th of the land rent has been the mobile home park owners. And if you take the value, approximately the value of this price-fixed land in the Santa Cruz County is about $20 billion worth of price-fixed land. And this is causing, like the community is being bombarded financially. Every day, it's like there's an aircraft carrier off our coast and bombarding, you know, $1 million here, $1 million
maybe
there.
Maybe I missed it, George, but I don't think you've addressed B's question about throwing out the thousands of people who can't afford living in this.
Well, every other class of renters here does not have that protection because of this intense gentrification going on the coast. If you're an apartment house owner and you cannot afford the high rent district, then you're eliminated. If you can't afford to buy a house, then you are eliminated. Only the mobile home park people have frozen rents so where they could survive, only that one class of renters. To the terrible economic damages to the community via taxation.
I hear what you're saying, but I still don't understand your answer. Did you get a satisfactory answer, B?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. And so is that...
My position is, if it weren't for the fact that we do... You know, he's talking about these people being beat out of money. Many of these mobile home parks have managers. They're getting their money off the top. Obviously, the people who own the property are making good money, or they would sell the property.
They can't sell it. That's it.
Oh, yes, they can.
They cannot sell the property. That's the issue of the initiative.
Excuse me.
Look.
We tried and tried to buy our park, and the people wouldn't sell it because they were making too much money.
They didn't want to be swindled.
That is not the point. They said they wanted to sell it, and we offered them more than anyone else would have offered, anybody in the business. And they would not sell to us. So don't tell me that.
They wanted to hold on to their property rather than being swindled.
They're not. They weren't being swindled.
That Aptos property, $3.9 million for a $55 million park.
Excuse me. We offered them $3 million more than they paid for this park. I don't call that swindling.
You have the greatest land appreciation in American history along the coast of California.
So only the wealthy should be able to enjoy it. Is that right?
The wealthy or the middle class are those who could afford to live in the high rent district. And then there's subsidized housing, which should be provided by the state funding, rather than the poor property owners forced to subsidize you because you have political power and you have essentially...
They knew what they were doing when they bought this property.
But then they got hijacked 30 years ago. They got hijacked.
Just a moment.
By a price-fixing cartel of renters.
Excuse me. Many of these people bought these mobile home parks knowing full well that they had rent controls. The people who bought our park knew that they had rent controls here.
Maybe because they knew sooner or later rent controls would come off.
Oh, I see.
That is a historical fact.
This is pie in the sky, right?
They're students of economics.
Uh-huh. Well, so am I. And I just think this is ridiculous.
Okay,
these people went into this knowing full well what they were getting into.
B, I think you made your point. Thank you very much for calling the Saturday special.
Mike.
Really appreciate it. Okay, our next caller will be Krishna in Santa Cruz. That opens up a line, by the way, at 479-1080. It's 10:45. Hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special with Rick Halterman against rent, in favor of rent controls, rather, and George Drysdale in favor against rent controls, and MZ normally very much opposed to rent controls, but in the past, at least, and up until now, I've been willing to be in favor of rent controls for mobile home parks, but. My mind could be changed. Give us a call at 479-1080. Krishna in Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
I think you're getting old.
Yeah.
I think you're getting worried about whether you're going to get to heaven or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're having problems like that, which always gets in the way of rational thought here.
Okay.
Now, I feel sorry for B, of course. But couldn't they, without government's hand getting into... Well, it's not government in this case, is it? From getting into the property value of the place, just have enough subsidized rental homes in there, or homes in there for people like B to live in, while they develop the place.
Now that's an idea. Yeah.
Why can't
what
they
do they call that? Inclusionary zoning or
right.
Something like that? Is that? Yeah. What happened with all that? Has that just been a massive failure, or what? After all these years.
Some cities have that. I think Capitola was considering 15% inclusion in new projects. But the mobile home park has sort of always just been it's rent control in the city, rent control in the county, whatever. But
yeah, but that's just because it's always been like that is a silly thing. I think there's something I thought struck me that I think Santa Cruz government feeds on revenue, tax revenue, right, to make itself grow.
Why, yes.
Wouldn't it? I think they got the idea that if a developer comes and wants to buy a place, it'll get the market value, and we're going to take a chunk of it out. I think they would be for the developer to do this. But I think that if they infuse the development with low-income housing, folks like B, who could easily be my mother or my grandmother, could be taken care of. I don't understand why this very rational thing can't be done.
Everybody's being pregnantly silent here at KSCO studios.
The gentleman there,
because they must be thinking over what you're saying.
The gentleman there who's running the initiative, with whom I agree 100%. Oh, I would like an answer from him. Why can't this be done to make your life easier?
Because the governing bodies around here have made it impossible for the people to sell into development, because that's where the votes came in.
Well, yeah.
Now, who can argue with that?
With you.
That's a true statement. The D word is worse than the F word or the N word in this county. You guys, you know that, don't you, Krishna?
What's the D word?
Development.
And the N word? Yeah, I know the N word.
Nigger, and the other one, as you know, it starts with F, it ends with K, and there's a U and a C in the middle.
Word.
You're not allowed to say it on the radio, though.
You can say fornication, no?
Yeah.
Well, there you go, fornication. Yeah. So this poor, we are being fornicated by the government.
Yeah.
But we have always been. It's become part of our...
Yeah, but it's not a liberal conservative thing, by the way. People vote for growth management in all the way back to 1978 in this county. The people have spoken. They want to make it difficult as a society, as a full population. They do want to make it difficult for more people to come here. And the way to do that, they simply directed the supervisors to come up with a way to do that, and over the years, the supervisors have made it very difficult to get subdivisions or minor land divisions or building permits or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the way development was controlled. It was made so expensive that only the richest people can do it, so it's become an elitist county.
So now, does this initiative throw it to the public, or is it also only for the voters of these public parks can vote on it?
No, it's in the county is where I'm throwing it, and because also the Board of Supervisors, they are the senior governing body. They get paid, what, $90,000 a year?
And the pensions, don't forget.
Oh,
the
yes.
Pensions.
And they should
benefits.
Step up and take a responsible position on this, because they are headed toward the first pages
well,
of
economic. You're not out gathering signatures,
economics.
Though, are you?
I don't think that'll be necessary. I think this radio program will get the supervisors online. And I said this is headed toward the first pages of every economics textbook around the world.
Nice. Nice
but,
that
but
you
like
think
said,
so highly of KSCO and its great power.
Yeah.
I hope you're right that we have that kind of power.
Michael,
or
culturally they don't want growth development, but fiscally you'd think they'd want it because they'd make so much money.
Exactly.
Taxing.
Exactly.
So I don't get it.
Yeah. Okay, Krishna,
right.
Thanks very much
Bye.
For your call. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. I'd like to hear from you on this Saturday special. I'm sure you got something to say, as Melissa in Scotts Valley does. Maybe not the same thing, but give us a call, 479-1080. Go ahead, Melissa, you're on.
Yeah, I agree with B. I live in a rent-controlled mobile home park. I am a mother of two young children, and we live on my husband's income. And the incomes in Santa Cruz does not match the cost of living. And this is the one way that we can raise our family in a nice place. And we were both raised here, and I don't see why the developers, this place has already been developed so much, and I think why not leave the mobile home parks that we have? We're not asking to build all these new ones. Why have to take our homes to put in condos? So that's my point. I don't think that
So you're asking George that question, I guess,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, George. Can't wait to hear your answer.
You've taken a selfish position. What about the property rights of the owner? What about the rights of all the other property owners, and say, especially Capitola, who want the highest and best use made out of that land? Mobile home parks depreciate the value of people's houses. They're inadequate. They're inappropriate development at this point in time in the whole county of Santa Cruz.
The values of houses in Santa Cruz is ridiculous. You could go to Boulder Creek and buy a shack for $500,000.
Exactly. This is the best place on earth, and you have to pay high prices to live in the best place on earth.
If I'm born and raised here, as me and my husband both were, our families live here, and my husband has a career here that he cannot leave. He works for the state.
I have a question. Why aren't you working, too?
Because I am working. I'm a working mother of two children. And I also...
That's the hardest work of all, raising kids.
Am I going to put my kids in child care so that somebody else can raise them? I do work on the side where I bring my children with me. I clean my church. And my husband watches the kids. So I do bring in an income. But I have a very good friend whose husband's an engineer, college educated. He makes very good money, and they cannot afford to buy a house here because you have to be a millionaire. You can't just have a college education and have a career to afford a house here. You have to be rich.
Well, you see many, many people who can't afford to buy a house here. They're all up and down the streets here, so it is possible.
They must have,
They either inherited it or they bought it back when it was way more affordable.
Exactly. And with my park here in Scotts Valley, our landowner, he just bought this park recently knowing that it was under rent control. He actually got it for a reduced price because it was under rent control. So he bought this park for less than what it would be normally charged. Then now he's trying to turn around and take our rent control back, trying to take it off. He's been...
Look at Mobile,
and it doesn't work.
Mobile home parks should have been all developed out about 20 years ago. And this would have created a greater supply of much-needed new housing.
So what do you think about my mobile home park? And what we're trying to do is to pull our old mobile home out and put a new manufactured home, which they're gorgeous, they're really nice, and...
Forget it.
And you think... you just don't like mobile homes? Is that pretty much what your problem is?
They're temporary housing.
The manufactured homes aren't. Those are very nice.
Yes, but here's the other part of the rent control initiative, is that in order to get the development underway, under state law, the owners of the parks have to buy the mobile homes back. But as part of the initiative, the mobile homes will be purchased at the actual price of the mobile home, not the price bloated by decades of rent control.
That's a ridiculous position. We've had to put up with this from the park owners for years, their so-called premium theory, where you're going to value these mobile homes at Blue Book value. No one bought it for Blue Book value. They spent a couple hundred thousand or $150,000 for their mobile home. The Blue Book value...
Wow, that much?
Yeah.
Some more than that. Some There are some very expensive, very nice parks, like De Anza or Brookvale Terrace, that are... Of course, Brookfield's resident-owned now, but there's some very nice parks. The homes cost more in there, but it is a very large investment. You're not talking, to get a mobile home for less than $100,000 now is almost impossible.
Wow.
Ours is 30 years old. We bought it, my husband bought it about 4 years ago for $130,000. Would they put some in next door that went for $300,000 for a manufactured home?
No, the prices are way up, and... A lot of people do try to purchase and then
George
move in.
George says that's because of rent control. That's a reaction to rent control. Am I right, George?
Yes, that's
what
you're reaction.
Well, and that the park owner is taking it in the shorts as a result of that.
Exactly.
Is that right?
That's the whole
thing. Is that right? I mean,
no, it's not right.
I guess it's right. I guess it's better for fewer people to be screwed than lots of people to be screwed. I guess that's what it boils down to. You know, maybe.
Is George, are you a mobile home park owner?
I had never owned a mobile home park in the state of California. No, this gets back to inclusionary zoning. Now, this is all up in the internet. Inclusionary zoning is another F for California's governance and basic economics. You're forcing somebody to build, give subsidized housing 15%, let's say, and what happens is people don't invest in that. Now, developers don't have to invest their money in a losing proposition. Now, on the internet, you'll see, click on inclusionary zoning, you'll hear, listen to what the economists think of it. It destroys the incentive to develop housing.
Okay. Hey, Melissa, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Dave, on the screen, I know we got a couple minutes of commercials here and there's barely time, and Margaret in Santa Cruz is waiting, and we've got a whole hour ahead of us, 479-1080. Call now. My question is to you, Dave. A caller says this guy's a bleep hole.
Right.
Which guy was the caller talking about?
I believe it's Mr. Drysdale.
But you're not sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right, let's play those commercials. We'll be back in a few minutes. Then we'll do the news at 11 o'clock. Then we'll come back with Kay's commentary. Then we'll come back with Margaret and whoever else is on the phone. Stay with us.
Life's good at the beach. Hello, I'm Joe Criccio, owner of Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz, where life is good. One reason why life is so good at Beach Auto Sales is that we save you money, a lot of money, on the best pre-owned cars, trucks, and vans you'll find anywhere, like Beach Auto's Deal of the Week. Listen to this.
Save $10,000 on a 2006 Mazda MPV with only 13,000 miles. Comes with a four-year, 50,000-mile factory warranty, two available for only $16,989.
Save money on your next car, truck, or van. Make a quick trip to see Joe Criccio at Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz. Located down by the beach where life's good, I'm at 512 Pacific Avenue. And hey, if you have any special car or truck in mind, give me a ring. I'll find it for you. I'm Joe Criccio, owner of Beach Auto Sales. 4200-200. That's right. My phone number is 4200-200. 4200-200.
Life's good at the beach.
Right now, at this very moment, our natural selves are innocent, pure, whole, and healthy. Yes, innocent, pure, whole, and healthy. When we learn how to see this fact clearly, we'll be restored from the corruption of day-to-day living back to our natural state. Jenny Ludeman, a Christian Science lecturer and former rock and roll star from Salem, Oregon, will talk about how you can experience this restoration Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. in Salinas at 22 Wynnum Street. That's just two blocks from Salinas High School. For more information, please call 375-5848. 375-5848. Hear Jenny Ludeman lecture on the restoration of our natural selves Sunday afternoon in Salinas. 375-5848. Brought to you by First Church of Christ Scientist Salinas.
You know.
Then the ceiling, the metal, and the concrete hit. Dylan's red hair looked white from the ash. He punched through the debris. Eight of his classmates did not make it.
All of them were no more than 10 feet away from me.
His friend Brent suffered a leg injury. Dylan's collarbone broke, and the girl they protected is okay.
I don't even know her name.
In Enterprise, Alabama, Holly Hickman, Fox News Radio.
National Transportation Safety Board will be investigating the crash of a charter bus that went off a road and off an overpass, crashing onto an interstate in Atlanta.
Right now, all the evidence is suggesting that the bus driver thought he was continuing in a carpool lane on the left-hand side of the interstate that he was driving on. He was, in fact, getting on an off-ramp that was an exit. It appears that he took that exit at full speed and went into the curve of the overpass with too much of that speed.
That's Fox's Laura Engel. Four college students killed along with the bus driver and his wife. And the first Wendy's restaurant has served up its last Frosty, closing last night in downtown Columbus, Ohio. This is Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Nothing inspires imagination like reading. When you open a book, you can explore new worlds, like the ones in the Chronicles of Narnia.
It's a beaver.
I ain't gonna smell it if that's what you want.
It's a talking beaver. Impossible.
You can make new friends, discover amazing adventures, and most of all, have fun.
Are you prepared for what awaits you?
To find out more about the wonders of reading, you can visit the Library of Congress website at www.loc.gov. There, you can learn more about books, play fun games, discover cool facts, and so much more. You can log on to www.loc.gov and let your journey begin. This message has been brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
In Michigan, the husband of a missing woman, the prime suspect in her murder. After police discovered parts of the woman's body in the couple's home, police will be holding a news conference to release more details of their investigation within the hour. Search continues for victims of dangerous landslides in Indonesia caused by days of heavy rain. At least 40 people killed so far.
The landslides on the island of Flores washed away dozens of homes. Rescuers have been trying to dig out the victims of the landslides, but continue to be hampered by bad weather. The main road to the worst affected area has now been cut by the mud. That's making it difficult to get heavy machinery in there to help search for people.
That's Fox's David Piper. She's been buried in the Bahamas, but the body battle in the Anna Nicole Smith case isn't over yet. As Fox's Steve Harrigan explained, it's just about a different body now.
There are reports that Billy Wayne Smith, the first husband of Anna Nicole Smith, the one-time Texas fry cook who she married at a very young age while still a teen and had a child with, had Daniel with. He is moving here with a Bahamian lawyer to get that body of his son Daniel, who died here back in September, exhumed from Bahamian soil and taken back to Texas.
Have you seen those catchy Geico caveman ads? They may be getting their own television show soon. ABC TV is ordering a pilot for one of about 30-something cavemen to try to live in modern-day Atlanta. What would you do with $340 million? Think about it. You could find out next Tuesday. You see, that's the jackpot for the Mega Millions drawing. There was no winner in last night's drawing. The lottery game is played in 12 states, including California and New York and New Jersey. I'm Rod Fritz, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, March 3rd, 2007. Today, you can expect it to be mostly sunny with highs around 65 degrees. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows around 45 degrees. Tomorrow, you can expect partly cloudy conditions with highs around 60 degrees. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with lows around 45 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, east winds 5 knots or less, with wind waves up to 1 foot and a northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds. The temperature here at the station is 80 degrees. I don't know if that's right, but that's what it says.
No!
That's what it says, MZ.
It can't be!
That's what it says.
I hope so.
I hope it's not lying.
That's so attractive. I want to forget the radio show second hour and go out and then bask in the 80-degree weather if it is indeed true.
Let's go.
But, well, let's at least start hour number two. Let's at least do that, okay?
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, we've been having a real interesting discussion on rent control. We encourage more participation from our audience during the next hour, so stay tuned to your favorite station.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio 5.
However, okay, those of you who are on hold, stay there. We will get to you right after this important latest K's commentary.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
My recent two commentaries dealt with the suggestion that clearly Islamic terrorism must be dealt with for many years to come. Therefore, the draft should now be resurrected. That news generated strong, sometimes hysterical reaction by some listeners. So let's pursue this issue further. Foolish me. I took a risk and thought I was talking to an audience of Americans who were very aware of the present danger to our freedom and way of life and could see that it is okay for each of us to care enough to participate in the preservation of our own national safety. It's wrong to expect a voluntary military to do it all indefinitely for the rest of us. If we were asked to serve in some capacity, I thought most would agree. Guess what? I was initially wrong, and then after a while, I was right. One proverb keeps haunting me as a reaction to the negative emotion, universal military preparedness. Quote, as you sow, so shall you reap. Unquote. The permissive generations of the past 40 years chose to not discipline their children, to never say no to them, to be overly protective of their emotional well-being, and those parents created a grave disservice to their children, many of whom are totally self-absorbed and selfish. Even more important, they, the children, were cheated out of the sense of joint responsibility and loyalty. Many listeners who at first were angry at the mention of the draft thought about it and decided that, after all, it would help our nation and our own self-worth to participate in our national military preparedness. And our able-bodied young people would then have a personal reason to love and protect their national home. Even the man who called a local program